If you would be duly affected with the sight of your own evils, look upon them in this consideration, and, in the view of God, your large portion, you will be forced to confess yourselves beasts in his sight. Psalm 73:22.
Oh, that men would consider how good and blessed the Lord is, how he is alone, and nothing beside him in heaven and earth, all broken cisterns, all dung and unprofitable, all vanity and vexation, he only self-sufficient, all others insufficient, and therefore a proportion good for our necessity and desires, and I am sure you would be constrained to cry out with David, "Whom have I in heaven but thee, or in the earth beside thee? It is good for me to draw near to God." You would look on drawing near, and walking with him, and before him, not only as the most reasonable thing, but the best thing, most beautiful, for you, most profitable, for you, and all other ways would be looked on as the ways of death. His work is perfect. The Lord looked, and behold, all was good that was made. So it was at first. The fabric of this world was an exquisite and perfect work, a suitable demonstration of his infinite wisdom, wonderful in all the parts of it, and in the unity and harmony of the whole. But so also his work of providence is perfect. Divine wisdom hath framed and contrived all, and it cannot be better. If anything seem imperfect in itself, yet it is perfect in relation to his glorious ends he directs it unto. And so would we look on all the works among us. If anything seemed a spot and disgrace of the creation, certainly the sin of men and angels, nay, but even that is so ordered by his holy sovereignty, that in relation to his majesty, it may be called a perfect work. If ye do but consider what a glorious high throne he hath erected to himself for justice and judgment to be the habitation of it, and mercy and truth to go before it upon the ruins of defaced man, what a theatre of justice he hath erected upon the angels' fall, ye would call it as perfect a work as is in the world. His work is one in the world, subordinate to one great design of manifesting his own glorious justice and mercy, omnipotency and wisdom. Now what do ye see of it but parcels? Though ye comprehend all your time in one thought, yet certainly ye cannot judge it aright, for it is but one work that all the several buildings and castings down, all the several dispensations of his providence, from the beginning to the end, make up. And when we think upon these disjoint, limit our consideration within the bounds of our own time, can we rightly apprehend it? Nay, which is worse, we used to have no more within the compass of our thought, but some present thing, and how much more do we err then? What beauty, what perfection can such a small part have? But it is present to him, who beholds with a glance all these parts. Though succeeding in many generations, he sees it all together, joins the end with the beginning, sees the first mold, the first foundation stone, and the last completing, all flowing from himself, and returning thither, and ending in himself. He hath made an interchange in nature, which might teach us the night alone hath no beauty. Nay, but it beautifies the day. Your darkest hours and tempests, public and personal, are they perfect works? Yes, certainly, if ye compound them with your sunshines and calms. Several colors make pictures beautiful, the one is as needful as the other, and if ye did consider your profit more than your honor and pleasure, ye would say so. He doth not model his works according to our fancy to please us, but our good to profit us, and he is wiser than we, and so then it is the most perfect work in itself, that possibly displeaseth us most. Therefore you would judge of his dealing by another rule than your own satisfaction, for please you and perish you. If he spared the rod, he should hate us indeed, fond love is real hatred. Christians, if you would judge his works by his word, and not by your sense, by your will, and not by your will, certainly we would say, as the men did of Christ, he hath done all well. The world would discover to you a perfection, even in imperfection, a perfection in infirmities, that ye should not only rejoice in them, but glory in them. Most gladly therefore will I glory, and see saith Paul. Are infirmities a perfect work? Or is the suffering of Paul, to be buffeted and tempted, a perfect work? What comfort is in it? Yes, much. Infirmities alone are infirmities indeed, nay but infirmities in me, and strength in Jesus, weakness in me, and strength dwelling in me, these make up one perfect work that could, as little want be infirmities as the strength. The glory of God, and our well and consolation, require the one, as well as the other, they could not be complete without any of them. What do ye think of the times now? Are England's apostasy, and Ireland's desolation, perfect works? That great work of reformation, that seemed to be above our shoulders, is now raised to the ground, and the very foundations removed. Is deformation a perfect work? Certainly, if we look on these things in the Scriptures' light, and consider them in relation to him who is the chief builder, and doth in heaven and earth what he pleaseth, that deformation is a perfect work, though not a perfect reformation. Though we could not inform you of the perfection of it, yet the general might silence us, all this shall be no miss, no march in the end. His work, at the end of accounts, shall appear so complete, as if it had never had interruption. He is wise, and knows what he doth. If this were not for his glory and his people's good, certainly it should not be. Was not the people wandering in the wilderness 40 years a most strange work, a longer interruption of the expected and begun voyage out of Egypt? What human reason would have styled this work with perfection? Did they not often murmur against it? Yet Moses calls this a perfect work also. What, if the Lord be digging the ground deeper in England, that the foundation may be the surer? What, if he be on a work of judgment, filling the cup of many deluded blasphemers, that he may have another cup of wrath prepared? What, if this be his great purpose, to execute vengeance upon a profane generation, that will not abide the very name and form of godliness, by those who pretend to the name of it as their honor? What, if the Lord hath defaced all that this kingdom was instrumental in building up in England, that he alone may have the glory in a second temple more glorious? Many things there may be in his mind, and he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doth, and this may be enough to satisfy us, he sees and knows all his works from the beginning. And without all controversy he hath, provided it so, that the reproach of his name shall be made up with the more shining of his glory, and the afflictions of his people shall be compensed with songs of deliverance. May ye not give him so much credit, as ye would give to a skillful man in his own trade? Ye know it is his name, excellent in counsel, and wonderful in working. Then take his work, expound it according to his word, and not your apprehension. It may be his work appears not excellent, nay, but if ye knew his counsel, ye would think it so. His wonderful counsel makes all his works excellent, and therefore do not take upon you to judge his works, unless ye could weigh the depth of his counsels, else ye declare yourselves to be both ignorant and presumptuous. There is a time to build, and a time to cast down, a time for everything, saith the wise man. Now, I say, he knows the time and season, he does everything in his time. If ye come by a workman that is casting down a house that in your appearance seems good, would ye condemn him presently? No, but stay till ye see what he will do next, wait till the due time, And when ye see a better piece of workmanship on that ground, ye shall absolve him. Though God often change his work, do not think he changes his counsel and purposes, as men do. No, he is in one mind, and who can turn him? Therefore he had that change in his mind, when he made the work, when he erected such a throne, he had this in his mind to cast it down within such a space, and so his change, his throwing down is, as perfect in his mind, as his building up. Ye have large and big apprehensions of temporal kingdoms and crowns of government, and such like, as if they were great, yea, only things, but they are not so to him. All this world and its standing, all the kingdoms and their affairs are not his great work and business. He hath a great work, the bringing of many sons to glory, and the completing of Jesus Christ, building of that glorious mystical building, the holy temple made up of living stones, of which Christ is the foundation, and chief cornerstone both, and it is this that he attends to most. Other works among men, though they have more noise, they are less concerned. All these are but in the by, and subservient to his great design, and like the scaffolds of a building, that are, it may be, sometimes very needful. Nay, but when the building is completed, he shall remove all these, he hath no more use of them. Kings shall be thy nurse fathers, kings shall bow to thee. He is not much concerned in government nor in governors, but for his little flock's sake, and if these were gathered, all these shall have an end, and the flock alone abide forever. And all his ways are judgment. This is to the same purpose, his ways and his works are one. And this is the perfection of his work, that it is all right and equal, whether they be in justice or mercy, they are all righteous and holy, no iniquity in them, his ways are straight and equal, exact, as if they were measured by an exact even rule, but because we make application of a crooked rule to them, we do imagine that they are crooked, as the blind man judges no light to be, because he sees it not. How may the Lord contend and plead with us, as with that people? Ezekiel 18:25. Is it possible that any can challenge him and clear themselves, who will be justified of all, when he is judged, and before whom no flesh can be justified? And yet, behold the iniquity of men's hearts. There is a secret reflection of our spirits upon his majesty, as if his ways were not equal, whenever we repine against them, and when we do not take with our iniquity, and stop our mouths with dust. Behold, the Lord will assert his own ways, and plead with all flesh this controversy, that all his proceedings are full of equity. He walks according to a rule, though he be not tied to a rule. He walks according to the rules of wisdom, justice, and mercy, though his ill-admitted sovereignty might be a sufficient ground of clearing of all his proceedings. But we walk not according to a rule, though we be bound to a rule, and a rule full of equity. Here is the equity and justice of his ways, the gospel holds it forth in a twofold consideration. First, if any man turn from his iniquity, and flee unto my son, as the city of refuge, he shall live, he hath eternal life, iniquity shall not be his ruin, although he hath done iniquity. O who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity? Is not this complete mercy? Whatever iniquity hath been, aggravate it, as ye can, though it could have ruined a world, yet it could not have ruined thee that turnest into Jesus Christ from iniquity. What exception can all the world have against this, or his walking according to it? And on the other hand, whosoever continueth in sin, though he appear to himself and others never so righteous, if he entertain and love any known sin, and will not part with it for Jesus Christ, shall not he die in his iniquity? Is there any iniquity in this, that he receive the wages of his works, his reward that he eat of the fruit of his own ways, and drink of his own devices. But how many hearts censure this way as a rigid and strict severe dealing? The multitude think it cruelty to condemn any Christian soul to put so many in hell. The civil man will think it is too hard measure that he should be ranked in hell with the profane. But certainly, all mouths shall be stopped one day, and he shall be justified, when he judges. Ye that will not justify him in his sayings, and set to your seal to the truth of the word, you shall be constrained to justify him, when he executes that sentence. Ye shall precipitate your own sentence, and rather wonder at his clemency in suffering you so long. This way of the Lord is equal and right in itself, but it is not so to every one. The just man shall walk in it and not stumble, as in an even way, nothing shall offend him. Hosea 14 last verse. Yet, for, as equal and straight, as it is, many other transgressors shall fall therein, they stumble even in the noonday and highway, where no offense is. It is true, often his own people stumble in it, as David, Psalm 73 and 94. David's foot was slipping, yet a secret hold was by mercy. It often requires a wise and prudent man to understand it, because his footsteps are in the deep waters, Psalm 87:19. His way is in the depths of the sea, his paths in great waters, so that men must wait till the Lord expound his own ways, till he come out of the waters, and make them a dry plain. And this is our advantage, the word says, he is near thee, in thy mouth, and neither above, nor beneath in the depths, that thou needest neither descend nor ascend to know it, Deuteronomy 30:11-14. But his way is in the depths, and his footsteps are not known, so that we ought to hold us by the word till he expound his work. His word will teach us our duty, and we may commit unto him his own way. The word is a commentary to expound his ways. David lost the sight of God's footsteps and was like to wander, till he came to the sanctuary, and this shined, as a candle in a dark place. He learned there to know the unknown footsteps and to follow them. By all means embrace the word, and be satisfied with it. When ye do not comprehend his work, it teaches as much in general, as may put us to quietness. All his ways are judgment, just and true. In all his ways is the King of Saints. If I do not comprehend how it is, no wonder, for he makes darkness his covering. He spreads over his most curious engines and pieces of workmanship a veil of darkness for a season, and who can behold him when he hides himself, says Job, and though he withdraw the covering, yet what am I? Who can by searching find out God? If I shall examine his way, what rule shall I take to try it by? If I measure by my shallow capacity, or by my crooked way, shall I have any just account of it? Will my arm measure the heavens, as his doth? If I examine it, or try it by himself, he is high as heaven and unsearchable. Therefore it becomes us to hearken to his word, and believe its sentence of his work, when reason cannot comprehend it. One thing, if it were deeply engraved on our hearts, would be a principle of settling our spirits. In all the mysteries and riddles of providence, the knowledge and faith of his sovereignty, of his highness, and of his wisdom. Should he give account of his matters to us? He is wise and knows his works, but is he bound to make us know them? His ways are above our thoughts and ways, as heaven is above the earth, Isaiah 55. And therefore, O grasshopper in the earth, that dwelleth in tabernacles of clay, do not presume to model his ways according to thy conceptions. One thing is certain, this is enough for faith. All his ways are mercy and truth to those that keep his covenant and his testimonies, Psalm 25:10. And there is no way or path of God so far above our reach, and unsearchable, as his mercy in pardoning sin, and this is only the satisfying answer to all your objections and scruples. In these ye do but vent your own thoughts, but says the Lord, my thoughts are above your thoughts, as heaven above earth. Ye but speak of your own ways, but my ways are far above yours, they are not measured by your iniquity, and therefore, David subjoins, Psalm 25 verse 11, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Sermon 3. Deuteronomy 32 4 and 5. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. All his ways are judgment, both the ways of his commandments and the ways of his providence, both his word which he hath given as a lantern to men's paths, and his works among men. And this were the blessedness of men, to be found walking in his ways, and waiting on him in his ways, having respect to all his commandments, and respect to himself in all his works. We all know in general that he doth all well, and that all his commandments are holy and just. Nay, but our practice and affections belie our knowledge, and for the most part, we stand cross in our humors, and affections, and conversation, both to his word and providence, and this is our misery. Great peace have they that love thy law. What peace then can keep that heart and mind that is daily at variance with his statutes and judgments, when the heart would wish such a command were not, when it is an eyesore to look upon it? Blessed are the meek. It is good for a man, both quietly to wait, and hope, and keep silence. How then must that spirit be miserable, that stands cross unto God's dispensations, and would limit the Holy One? Do not our hearts often say, I do well to be angry, why is it thus with me? But, who hath hardened himself against him and prospered? His counsel must stand, and you may vex yourself, and disquiet your soul in the meantime, by impatience, but you cannot by your thought add one cubit to your stature. You may make your case worse than providence hath made it, but you cannot make it better by so doing, so that at length you must bow to him or be broken. Oh then that this word engraven on our hearts with the point of a diamond. All his ways are judgment, that ye might be overcome with the equity of his command and dispensation, and your heart and tongue might not move against them. It was enough of old with the saints, it is the Lord, let him do what seems good in his eyes. God's sovereignty alone pondered, may stop our mouth. But, if you withal consider, it is perfect equity that rules all, it is divine wisdom that is the square of his works, then how ought we to stoop cheerfully unto them? One thing, you would remember, his ways and paths are judgment, and if you judge aright of him, ye must judge his way and not his single foot's sum. You will not discern equity and judgment in one step or two, but consider his way, join adversity with prosperity, humbling with exalting, take along the thread of his providence, and one part shall help you to understand another. There is reason in all, but the reason is not visible to us in so small parts of his way and work. A God of truth. Strange it is that his majesty is pleased to clothe himself with so many titles and names for us. He considers what our necessity is, and accordingly expresses his own name. I think nothing doth more hold forth the unbelief of men, and atheism of our hearts, than the many several titles that God takes in Scripture. There is a necessity of a multitude of them, to make us take up God, because we staying upon a general notion of God, rather frame in our imaginations an idol than the true God. As there is nothing doth more lively represent the unbelief of our hearts,
In the multitude of promises, men that consider such frequent repetitions of one thing in Scripture, so many divers expressions of one God, may retire into their own hearts, and find the cause of it, even the necessity of it. But while we look so slightly on these, we must judge it superfluous and vain. Needed there any more to be said, but, I am your God, I am God, if our spirits were not so far degenerated unto atheism and unbelief? Certainly that word Jehovah holds forth more to angels than all the inculcated names and titles of God to us, because we are dull and slow of heart. Therefore wonder at these two when ye read the Scriptures, God's condescendency to us, and our atheism and unbelief of Him. They are both mysteries, and exceeding broad. There is not a name of God, but it gives us a name, and that of reproach and dishonor, so that for every one, some evil may be written down. And it is to this purpose Moses draws them out in length, that in the glass of his glorious name, the people might behold their own ugly face. This name is clear, he is a God of truth, not only a true God, but truth itself to note his excellency and eminency in it. It is Christ's name, I am the truth, the substantial truth, in whom all the promises are truth, are yea and amen. His truth is his faithfulness in performing his promises, and doing what his mouth hath spoken, and this is established in the very heavens, Psalm 89:2. His everlasting purpose is in heaven, where he dwells, and if any man can ascend up to heaven, if any creature can break through the clouds, then may his truth be shaken. His word comes down among men, nay, but the foundation of it is in heaven, and there is his purpose established, and therefore, there is nothing done in time can impair or hinder it. Ye think this world very sure, the earth hangs unmovable, though it hang upon nothing. All the tumults, confusions, and reels which have been in the world have never moved it to the one side. Heaven goeth about in one tenor perpetually, keeping still the same distance. Nay, but his truth is more established than so. Heaven and earth depend but upon a word of command, he hath said, let it be so, and so it is. Nay, but his word is more established. Of it saith Christ, one jot or tittle of it cannot fail, though heaven and earth should fail. He may change his commands as he pleases, but he may not change his promise. This puts an obligation on him, as he is faithful and true, to perform it, and when an oath is superadded, oh, how immutable are these two! When he promises in his truth and swears in his holiness. Is there any power in heaven and earth can break that double cord? Matthew 5:18 and Hebrews 6:18. There is no name of God but it is comfortable to some, and as terrible to others. What comfort is it to a godly man that trusts in his word, he is a God of truth. An honest man's word is much, his oath is more. What shall his word be who is a God of truth? Though all men should be liars, yet God is true. Ye who have ventured your souls on his word, ye have an unspeakable advantage. His truth endures forever, and it is established in the heavens. The ground of it is without beginning, the end of it without end. Ye are more sure than the frame of heaven and earth, for all these shall wax old as a garment. We speak of a naked word of truth. Indeed, it is no naked word that is God's word. His works of providence, and his dispensation to you, is a naked and bare foundation, nay, a sandy foundation, and ye who lean so much to them, is it any wonder ye so often shake and waver? All other grounds beside the word are uncertain, and stable, this only endures forever. The creature's goodness and perfection is but as the grass, and the flower of the field. Venture not much on your dispositions and frames, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, but his truth is to all generations, and it is well tried, as gold 7 times. All generations have tried it and found it better than pure gold. His dispensations are arbitrary, no rule to you. He loveth to declare his sovereignty here and to expatiate in the creature's sight beyond its conceiving, but he hath limited himself in his word and come down to us, and laid bonds on himself. Will he then untie them for us? Give him liberty, where he loves it, take him bound where he binds himself. How may God expostulate with this generation, as those of little faith? How long shall I be with you? Saith Christ. How long will Christians tempt the Lord in seeking signs, and will not rest upon his only word and promises? O adulterous generation, how long shall I be with you and ye will not believe? Is it not righteousness in him, either to give you no sign at all, or to give you a sign darker than the thing itself, as he did to the Pharisees? Ye will give credit to a man's word, and will ye not believe God's? An honest man will get more trust of us than the true and living God. Shall he not be offended with this? We declare it unto you, that he is truth itself, and will not fail in his promise. Let that be your castle and refuge to enter into. Mercy and truth are 2 sweet companions to go along with you in your pilgrimage. David prayed for them, Psalm 61:7. O prepare thy mercy and truth to preserve me. Who will not be safe within these everlasting arms? What power can break through them? And this he promised to himself, Psalm 57:3. God shall send them out. Mercy made so many precious promises, and truth keeps them. Mercy is the fountain and source of all our consolation, and truth and faithfulness convey it to us, and keep it for us. It is these 2 that go before his face, when he sits on a throne of majesty, and makes himself accessible to sinners, Psalm 89:14, and so they are the pathway he walks in towards those who seek him. Psalm 25:10.